Our sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 9, starting with verse 23. Luke chapter 9. Starting with verse 23. And he was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Pray with me. Our God, please bless us now and help us as we bear our hearts to you for surgery this morning. Please give us a true diagnosis of where we are individually, that we would hear what you say, that we would see the steps that we are taking in our lives, and we would see how to adjust those steps in accordance with truth and life. Please help us now, God, and be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, we see three pieces that are given to us. Jesus says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." As these three pieces are given to us, each of us can look and we can do a diagnosis of our lives. We can look at it across the board and see if this is the general direction of our lives, if we are denying ourselves. We can look at it in individual relationships, or look at it as a family as a whole. Is this the direction of my family? Are we in the process of denying ourselves in order to follow Christ Jesus? We can look at it as a congregation and ask the question, is this our process? Is this our habit? Are we giving up the things that we want, the things that we desire, to follow Christ Jesus? But most importantly for you this morning, as you will be considering it, you'll be looking at your own heart. Maybe specific relationships that you are in. In this particular relationship, am I giving up what I want? My lifestyle that I would desire in order to follow Christ Jesus? Now, this seems to be where the rubber meets the road in the Christian life. Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me or follow me, what does it mean to follow Christ or come after him? Well, he leads in pathways of righteousness for his name's sake. And where does Jesus Christ lead you? But to heaven itself. He's saying, if you would come out of shadow, out of darkness, out of this place of God's fierce wrath, it's going to look like you giving up what you would be seeking to fill yourself, to satisfy yourself, to gratify yourself. Saying if you're living in this place where you're holding on so tightly, he said, so what would be the point of you? To gain the whole world, even if you could, gain the whole world. If you could have all of the stuff that you want, what good would that be for you if you were to die in hell then? So he's saying, if you will, if you desire, if you think you're going to come out of shadow, you're going to be following me. And you see the passage just before that, he described what his life was, what it was about to be, saying he would be taken by sinners. He would suffer at their hands. And we know that he would die in that place. And then he says, come and follow me. Come and follow me. Now, as we would listen to this, we would say, but that's death. You're inviting me to death. What have you been invited to that you wanted to go to? Come, let's go to this event together. Let's go to a movie together. Let's go out to eat together. Let's go to a game together. Sounds great. Jesus, on the other hand, says, let's go die. Let's go die together. What is that? It's so contrary to all the pleasures and all the joys that we would desire. But what was Christ? Remember, what he was accomplishing when he died. He was making all things new. He was saving the world. He was saving the church. And he puts that in the same context, saying, look, if you're going to do this, if you're going to go with me, you're going to live. It's a life forever. It's life eternal. And we all of us who have gotten a bit older, we've all learned to have these struggles, haven't we? These things that we were able to enjoy as young people and eat as much sugar and cake and candy and anything that we wanted and get away with it. We're now at the place where we look and we say, yeah, it looks good. I remember that it tasted good. But I also know what it does to me now and what it will do to me. There are things that look good, taste good, will feel good, but we also know that they are death. So the call for you this morning is to die to yourself, to live forever. Now there's going to be moment after moment, where we have to make a conscious decision to not take on these things that we want. Denying yourself seems to be the completely countercultural at this moment. The advertising says, you deserve this. You're worth it. This is what you should have. You should have full comfort in any given moment. The fast food industry is that picture where we are supposed to be able to get our food in under a minute. Fully cooked food that tastes exactly the way that we want it. It's going to fill us with joy and pleasure for a good minute and a half when we have it. But we know real life is harder than that. Real life looks more like cultivating soil, plowing a garden, planting seeds, watering, weeding, waiting, picking, canning, and having food for a year to come. The real life is effort. Now, don't hate that. Don't hate the effort. There's joy in the midst of the work. There's joy in the midst of denying yourself, taking up the cross and following him. So, with the call to die to self, to live forever, our first step is desire to follow Jesus. Luke 9:23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, is that what you want? Do you want to follow him? There's a man named Rich Roll. He was an alcoholic. and he was dying of his alcoholism. Through the course of his life, as he was getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and as he was getting multiple DUIs, he learned that there's this strange place in the place of addiction where you find that you actually want to get better. You actually want to change. He described that moment as a miracle. He's saying that miracle, that moment where you actually want to change, you can't gloss over it, or you better not gloss over it. It might never happen for you. But if it does come and you actually do want to get better, you've got to grab hold of that with zeal. You've got to follow it. You have to pursue it. You have to do the same thing with accountability. In our lives, if you come to the place where you actually want to follow Jesus, if you actually want to deny yourself, if you actually want to take up your cross, a miracle has happened in you. You have been given an amazing and a beautiful heart, and you have to hold on to that and run after that with full zeal and full confidence. And in this moment, if this is speaking to you, make a commitment, even now, as you would know the things that would draw you away from Christ, that you will put those things off and even do that with accountability. Even talk to someone about that today if you would desire to follow Christ. If you would desire to put off the old self, to know Christ and to follow Him. Because that's the option. It's that or death. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Apart from Him, you have no way. You have no truth. And even as we see in this passage, you have no life. Our second step is to deny the carnal self. And I'm almost sorry for carnal there, that word. It almost doesn't translate in our culture. Outside, if you say carnal, I don't have any idea what they would do with that word. Think fleshly. Think worldly. Think a world system that's based on itself. Based on what makes you feel good. Based on thinking about gratifying or satisfying yourself. Based on making yourself comfortable. Emotions and feelings that are all tied up in the self, all tied up in what makes you feel good or what makes you comfortable. That's the culture. That's the posture of the culture outside of the kingdom of God. Now, we come to a new place where we say, okay, that's not what I'm about. We see in verse 23, he must deny himself. Now, again, for a culture that loves self and is wrapped up in it, it sounds like blasphemy. They will tell you, be true to yourself. Take care of yourself. They will tell you, love yourself. But Jesus is saying, that's not it. That's not the picture. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is completely different than that. Philippians 3, 18 through 19. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, or whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So we're dealing with the self and the gratification of the self, making yourself comfortable. The elements of So we see all the elements that God has given us twisted and perverted in this sense. We were given the commission to be fruitful and multiply. fill the earth. How much of the sin in the culture is based on a twisting of that? Moving from honoring God and glorifying God and populating the earth in a way that would honor Him and glorify Him to self-gratification. That is one of the deepest and most prevalent sins. We are to care for ourselves and make ourselves strong and cultivate our bodies. We see a perversion and a twisting of that, and let's call it gluttony. You're supposed to feed yourself. You are supposed to survive. But we take this good thing and use it to medicate ourselves and to make it our God. Your God is your appetite, we saw in the scripture. Your God is your belly. And it is not to be so. See, living by the Spirit answers the fall, which is what Christ did when He went and He died on the cross. He answered the fall. And He says, now as you will be living and following Me, denying yourself, taking up your cross daily, and following Me, you'll be answering the fall. You'll be answering the effects of the fall in your own life. You'll be answering death in your own life with eternal life. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. Isn't that saying exactly what I have just said? That we have a portion of our nature that is corrupted, distorted, perverted. Corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. Imagining that we could gain these things and that we could be comfortable, gain these things, and there we will be happy. And that you be renewed. This is the answer. That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and the holiness of the truth. This denying the self and working with a man who works in recovery from addiction. He translates it and says it this way. Then if you'll give up yourself or give up your life, he says, giving up your lifestyle. A lifestyle that's based on your own comfort. If you give up a lifestyle that's based on your own comfort and move to a lifestyle that's committed to other people's eternal good, you have true life. You're investing in eternity rather than the fluff of the world that comes and passes and goes. You have what lasts forever. So our third step is to think of following Jesus as life. Now, doesn't that sound completely true? Think of following Jesus as life. Now, He set up this path, and He was on this path, and He had just said, by the way, I'm off to die. And if you want to move from where you are and be with Me, you're going to have to die too. You're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow Me. But the weird thing is, that's life. Real life. Full life. Again, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. So with Me, following Me, trusting in Me. Psalm 85, 13, righteousness will go before Him, and He will make His footsteps into a way. So you get to think in the context of your home, in the context of your relationships, what will it mean for me to follow Jesus in my individual relationships? What will it mean if you're married with your spouse? If you're unmarried, what will it mean in your relationship with your parents? What will it mean in your relationship to your neighbor and your coworkers? What will it mean for me to give up myself and follow Christ? Because that is the pathway of true life. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's kind of easy to pray that until you start thinking of your kingdom come, your will be done in my relationship with my spouse. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my relationship with my parents. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my relationship with my children. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my relationship with the people who sit in the pew on the other side of the church or in front of me, behind me. Your kingdom come, your will be done when I'm at work, when I'm alone, when I would be going to seek to gratify myself. It's life. Following Christ Jesus is life. Proverbs 12:28, and the way of righteousness is life, and its pathways there, and in its pathway there is no death. Luke 9:24, for whoever wishes to save his life, we'll say lifestyle, his lifestyle of the world, whoever wishes to save his life of self-gratification is going to lose all comfort forever. That's the reality. But whoever would sacrifice his lifestyle of comfort, of self-gratification, whoever would give that up will have eternal life with Christ Jesus. Following him in this way is life. Our next step, number four, think of belonging to the Good Shepherd. Again, verse 23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, I'm putting this in the context of Jesus being the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Now, we've probably had the dialogue, or maybe you've enjoyed the monologue, or maybe you've heard the monologue, but you haven't enjoyed it, about Jesus Christ, knowing him as Savior and Lord. There are people who imagine that they want to call themselves Christian because they think that's good. Or they want to call themselves Christian because they had gone to church. They want to call themselves Christian because they like Jesus' moral teaching okay. And they would imagine that in general, they would try to follow Jesus' moral teaching. But to know him as Savior, that's to know your own guilt, to trust that he has died for you, and to know him as Lord means you're going to obey him. That you're actually going to listen to him and follow him. Now, when he speaks in terms of shepherd, there are benefits that come from knowing him as shepherd. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, there's a couple of passages in Scripture where it talks about, even in the preaching of the word, you hear Jesus. Now, that's not just when I'm reading the red letters. I've been called to be a pastor and a preacher. And when I faithfully proclaim the words of Christ, you're hearing Jesus speak to you. Do you hear that this morning? Do you hear Jesus speaking to you? Do you hear his voice? He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. So this puts you in the place where Jesus says, I'm telling you what you need to do. You call me your Savior. Will you say to me, Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? There's a weight to this moment. There's a weight to the assembly. When we have come together and we have postured ourselves correctly for instruction and teaching, for training in righteousness, that we would both hear His voice and know it and follow Him. In this place where we know Him as shepherd, we see ourselves as being protected by Him. You've enjoyed His protection. We are in the place where we have been redeemed or rescued. We've been saved by Him. You have been in the place to hear the preaching of the word, which is for discipline and is for instruction. It is for correction. These are good things, beautiful things, holy and eternal things. You've been led and guided by Him as He's instructed you. You've been nourished by the word coming again and again. And as He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You enjoy His presence as shepherd. As the hirelings will run away when the wolf comes, he will not run away. In this place of blessing, in this place He speaks to us of true life, that we would give up these temporary things that last but for a moment. And we would love, and be committed to these things that last forever. So, moving into our fifth step, which is follow Jesus as a part of being saved. This isn't obeying Him, therefore you are saved, but it is having been saved, or as you trust in Him, demonstrate that trust. Verse 25, for what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Again, John 10, 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Now, who is this to whom He gives eternal life? It's these sheep that are hearing His voice and know it. These sheep that are hearing His voice and know it and follow Him. There's a reality to salvation. It's not this thing that took place some other time. Now we're in this limbo, living however, and waiting for eternity to start. And I'm like, oh, okay. And there my salvation kicks in. Salvation is a moment by moment, interrelational reality. Interrelational with Christ, as we know His voice, we hear Him, and we follow Him, and interrelational with one another. As each of us are laying our lives down as we follow Christ Jesus. Now, this blossoms and becomes beautiful. This blossoms and accomplishes so much. Everyone here can think of people that you've known that have been saved, that have laid their lives down for the church. For you, we have been blessed and we have benefited from those things. We know that it is no small thing. And that is just a piece of the beauty of salvation. These are people who have followed Christ Jesus. And I invite you, I call you to that same life where you die to self to live forever. Let's pray. Our God, we thank You that You still speak to us. We thank You that You have not forsaken us nor abandoned us. Please help us each as individuals to take Your word into our hearts in order to apply it for Your glory. God, help us each to look at those things and recognize those things that were under the ban that we have taken, and we have hidden them in our tents, where we hold them in our hearts, where they keep us from following You. Father, bless us as we confess our sin to You. And even as we may confess our sins to one another, that the prayers of righteous men would be effectual and accomplish much in our lives. Would help us to lay these things aside, to throw them away, to deny ourselves our individual comforts, to take up our cross, to follow you. You will be glorified as we walk in the light and as we call others to the light. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.